Good morning. The scripture reading today is from John 2, 13 through 22. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple courts, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers, and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, "Get these out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a market." His disciples remembered that it is written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then responded to him, "What sign can you show us to prove your authority to do this at all this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." They replied, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you are going to raise it in 3 days?" But the temple he spoke of was his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. Then they believed the scriptures and the word that Jesus had spoken. This is a reading of God's word.
Please pray with me. Creator God, we don't want to just listen. We want to hear you. So turn our hearts towards you just as you turn strangers into disciples. Turn our ears towards you just as you turn the tables in the temple. We are listening. Amen. So do you all remember Blockbuster? Yes. In my high school days, it made for a really great date night. One of our parents would take us to Blockbuster, and we'd pray that we weren't too late to get one of the last of the 30 copies of Wayne's World on the weekend that it came out. And on the way home, we'd pick up a pizza, and we'd hang out in the TV room, watch the movie. We were always, always sure to be kind and rewind. We usually dropped the video back off that same night because we were not about to pay any late fees. At least for me, that feels like ancient history. There's only one Blockbuster left open in the world right now, and it's actually not even Blockbuster. It's just a privately run video store that used to be a Blockbuster that has just kept the name and all of the signage. It's in Bend, Oregon, if you want to make a trip. You can still rent movies there, but it really is more like a museum of sorts, because who rents movies anymore? And you might have heard some people say, like, "Well, Netflix is the one that killed Blockbuster," and I mean, it's a bit more nuanced than that. Like, Netflix listened to customers, and they even proposed a plan to, like, team up with Blockbuster way back in 2000. But Blockbuster wanted to stay in physical stores. And actually, even later on that same year, Netflix tried again. Blockbuster turned down the opportunity to buy, like, outright purchase Netflix. And then we kind of know what happened after that. In 2007, Blockbuster finally heard their customers and came around, and they started to do some streaming stuff, but it was kind of too little too late. They filed for bankruptcy in 2010, and the company was fully extinct by 2019. No more Blockbuster. At the core of Blockbuster's demise was an opposition to change. technology was moving forward. There were new products being created, new services that were coming around. But even when Blockbuster was invited to be part of, they were included, they were asked to be part of the innovation, they declined. Because that's not the way that we've always done it. And this might seem like a really weird way to introduce the passage for today about Jesus flipping over tables. By the way, that's an AI generated. Like if you write in the AI generated thing, Jesus flipping over tables, that's what AI thinks it means. Because he's flipping, Jesus himself is flipping on top. You get it? You okay, Clara? Yeah, so we're talking about Jesus flipping over and cleansing the temple. And most of the time, I don't know about you, but most of the time that I've heard this story told, we think about oppression. And the temple authorities are taking advantage of people, and Jesus is rushing in, and he's going to come and overturn these systemic corruptions. And yeah, that's part of it. I mean, it's mostly when Matthew, Mark, and Luke relay this event, because this story is also in the other three Gospels. They almost explicitly say as much. They suggest that there's price gouging happening, and they report Jesus saying, "This house of prayer has turned into a den of robbers." But here in John's account, it seems what Jesus is rejecting is the very activity of buying and selling. And that's kind of weird. I know, like, we don't really do a lot of buying and selling here in the church, right? But in the Jerusalem temple, just for a little context, that was the holiest place in the whole world. It was the holiest place for Jesus and other Jewish people like him. It wasn't just one of a bunch of different churches on every street corner, as seems to be in Pittsburgh. The temple was the center of the world. It was the place where God lived, where heaven and earth meet up. The temple was the center of worship and music, of politics and society, of national celebration and mourning. But here's the thing, not all Jewish people lived in Jerusalem. So every year they would make a pilgrimage to the temple to worship God by giving sacrifices. And to give a sacrifice, you have to have an unblemished animal, because let's be honest, God doesn't want your leftovers. So you can imagine that traveling a long way with an animal, it would be really hard to bring an unblemished animal when you're traveling that long, when you're pilgrimaging. The other thing, it was also important because people are traveling in, the money changers are also important. So folks are coming from all sorts of different directions. They have their own money from their own province or state or town, and that money needed to be converted into coins that were suitable, that didn't have the face of anyone engraved on it. Suitable for making any purchases and for paying the temple tax, for paying their tithe. So selling animals and exchanging currency, that was a necessary part of worship. It was like the whole thing. They had to have those things. Let's be honest, though. Even if the sellers are thinking, like, we're here to do help people worship properly, those sellers were probably at least a little interested in making a bit of a profit. So I just imagine with all of that, like, this is a normal thing. There's animals all around. There's money changers. This is what we're supposed to do. This is how we've always done it. I imagine that the pilgrims at the temple were absolutely flabbergasted when Jesus drove out all of the merchants and flipped over those tables. These people had come a long way to worship God. And Jesus had closed the stores that had all of the things that they need to do what they came to do. The people now can't offer any sacrifices. They can't give their tithes. That's the way that they'd always done it. What are they supposed to do? In flipping those tables and in driving out the animals, Jesus is challenging a religious system that is so embedded in its rules and its practices that it's no longer really open. It's not listening to a fresh revelation from God. They're not open to a new way of understanding God, of worshiping God. In what Jesus says here, Jesus is making a little reference, it's very, very subtle reference to Zechariah chapter 14. I know you're all going to want to look it up, which says, there shall no longer be traitors in the house of the Lord of hosts on that day. That day refers to the day when the Lord comes to Jerusalem. And Jesus' actions indicate that the Lord has come. And that means the traitors must leave. Worship isn't going to be the way that it has always been. John has already told us how the Word has become flesh, dwelling among us. And so now, instead of residing in the Jerusalem temple, God is now found inside the body of Christ. Jesus is the place where heaven and earth meet. Jesus is the temple. Here's why this is good news. I mean, it was really good news for the people of the first century who had the occasion to meet Jesus and walk with him and talk with him. And now, like, the body of Jesus is come and gone. And it's like, what do we do 2,000 years later? How do we experience God's presence in the world? Because God's presence is still here in the world. Again and again, as our theme throughout Lent goes, again and again, God directs us and shows us the way. And the way has looked different at different times. God's presence at the temple in Jerusalem, God's arrival on earth as the human body of Christ, and then after Jesus' death, God stays on earth with us as the collective body of Christ, the universal church that is supported by the Holy Spirit. That is God here with us. Perfect, we are not. The church universal has committed some atrocious sins, practically since its inception. And yet, God still chooses to dwell among us, continually showing us the way. I kind of wonder how Jesus would cleanse the church today. And what areas are we making the same kind of mistakes as the Jerusalem temple authorities? Do we think that church buildings are the only places where God's presence can be felt, seen, heard? Do we really cling to the status quo because that's the way that we've always done it? Are we trusting that God is going to show us a new way? Are we going to invest in Netflix? As the hands, feet, eyes, and ears of Christ's body, where should we be locating ourselves? Could Jesus be driving us outside? Could we be the ones that are supposed to find the hungry and to feed them, to befriend the friendless, to visit the sick and the incarcerated? Are we the ones who are to be sitting with the hurting? The church is changing. It's been changing for a while. You know it. And the way that we've always done church isn't as effective these days. There are still wonderful, beautiful things that happen in church that are excellent and we should keep doing because it makes us feel close to God. But we also can't just be and expect folks to want to just sit in this beautiful place that means so much to us to learn about Jesus. So Jesus prods us to go outside and show people who Jesus is through our actions, through our friendship, through our care. We're Blockbuster, and Jesus is showing us the way. Are we listening? Amen.